Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm sold out. Amen. Are you sold out tonight? Amen. Well, it don't sound like very many of you. I said, are you sold out tonight? Amen. Glory to God. My heart is fixed. My mind's made up. No room, no vacancy. I'm all filled up. Because His Spirit lives in me, and that's the reason I'm sold out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's going to take an uncommon desire to look the devil in the eye and say, I'm sorry, but there's no vacancy here because I'm already sold out. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. You know what's going to happen when you really, really get sold out for God. And the devil knows you're really sold out. He's going to put that to the test. He's going to put it to the test. He's going to try to figure out some way to test your desire. But I can't get on that too much. I'm going to get that in my preaching here tonight. But he's going to put that to the test. Amen. Glory to God. How many remembers when you got saved? Born again. Old things were passed away, and behold, all things became new. And it wasn't too long until Satan came around, that adversary, that accuser of the brethren, the Bible calls him, and starts bringing up my past and tries to remind me of what I'd done. And I got to turn around and remind him it's under the blood. Amen. You want to know why he brings up your past? Amen. They tell me that they do what they call reruns on television. I don't have a television, but I heard this said that they do reruns on television. And that the reason they will turn around every once in a while and do 3, 4, 5 days of nothing but reruns is because they're trying to come up with some new material. And until they can get some new material put together, they're just going to put some reruns on that wheel. Oh, you ain't hearing me here tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. And so anytime Satan tries to come back around and tries to throw some reruns in my mind and tries to tell me, you remember a few years ago, or you remember a few weeks ago when you done this and that and the other, and I've just got to remind him, devil, I know what's up your sleeve. I know what you're trying to do to me, and it's not going to work. Hey, man, you're just trying to run something on me because you don't have any new material to throw in my face. You don't have nothing new to try to discourage me over. But I got to take him back to that altar and see this right here, devil. This is where the blood covered it all. This is where, amen, the blood of Jesus made everything in the past. Somebody throw your hands in the air and say, I'm sold out. I'm sold out. Hallelujah. Amen, amen, amen. Well, amen. I want my son, I asked him to come up and give us a word of testimony before I preach here tonight. I appreciate my boys being with me. I want him to come and give a word of testimony this evening.
Well, it's good to be in Truth Camp this year. It was nice. I was glad we could make it back. How many enjoyed that sermon last night? I know I did. And man, he preached on an uncommon desire. And when he was preaching, my mind brought me to Mark chapter 5. You don't have to turn there, but talks about, how many's ever heard the story about the woman with the issue of blood? And we all remember that story, okay? Well, it says, when Jesus passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Okay, it says he passed over again. And this lady had had this issue of blood, this problem in her blood she had had that she couldn't get rid of for 12 years, which means that Jesus had to have passed by in that time, and she didn't call out to him. But this time she's calling out to him. What was it that drove her? It was desire that drove her. She had an uncommon desire that she wanted to get to Jesus, and she wanted to come in contact with Jesus. When doctors couldn't help her, physicians couldn't help her, she tried medicine, medications. Doctors and physicians put her on all kinds of medications, but none of that helped until she came in contact with Jesus. Amen. She tried everything in this world she could, but until she found Jesus, nothing had worked. Amen. And you got to pray for me. I'm really nervous. But she had heard of maybe, you ain't going to find this in scripture. I've just used my imagination that maybe she had heard of Jesus before. I have no doubt she heard of Jesus. Jesus was well known in his ministry right here. And she had heard of the man who had walked on water, healed the lame, made the lame to walk, the dumb to talk, made the blinded eyes to see, the deaf ears to open, and she still didn't respond to him. Maybe she thought that she was too sick. You know, maybe I'm too sick for him. I mean, he can walk on water, but maybe, you know, some other people have done that, and maybe even, you know, laid his spit in the mud and picked it up and rubbed it on someone's eyes, and he could see again. You know, somebody might have done that too. But I just got to believe she didn't think he could heal him. I don't think she thought he could heal him at first. You know, she had heard of all these things, and she still didn't believe. But she still didn't believe. But I don't care what. Then maybe that's you right now. You don't think Jesus can heal you. Maybe it's something going through in your body that you need a healing. Maybe you need a breakthrough. I don't care what it is. I don't care what kind of disease you have. What kind of breakthrough you need. I don't care what storm you're going through in your life. Whatever it is you're going through, when you come in contact with Jesus, when you come into contact with the Master, he's going to make everything all right. And I got to believe that she's just standing, you know, she's wondering what she's going to do, and she hears of all these stories, and then she hears a story about a man named Lazarus who was dead for 4 days, and after 4 days, Jesus raised him back from the dead. So maybe after Lazarus has already been raised from the dead right here. So maybe she thought, if this man can raise the dead, I know he can walk on water. I know he can heal the lame. He can make the lame to walk. Maybe if he can raise the dead, maybe he can even save me too. Maybe he can heal me too. Amen. So I don't care what you're going through. Jesus is always there, and when you come in contact with him, there isn't nothing that the devil says. There isn't nothing, no demon in hell can stand up against Jesus. When he's on your side, you've automatically won. We've already won. Devil can't do nothing about it. We've already won. As long as we stay true to him, there isn't nothing that's going to happen. We've already won. The battle's over. The Bible says the battle has already been won. All we have to do is choose. He gave us a choice. He didn't want us to sit down and push a button and we serve him. He pushes another button and we worship him. Push another button, we're worshiping, we speak in tongues. No, but he wanted to give us a choice. He wants us to serve him out of choice. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And when you come in contact with Jesus, when she came in contact with Jesus, the Bible says she was immediately healed. It wasn't a couple hours later than she got healed. She immediately was healed. Hallelujah. And when you come in contact with Jesus, sin is no more. Sickness is no more. There is nothing in this world that will be no more. Even death itself, when you come in contact with Jesus, even death itself had to leave. When Jesus was crucified on that cross, he went to hell and he took the keys from death, hell, and the grave, and then he turned around and gave them to us, the church. So we have all power over sin. We have all power over death, all over sickness, and over hell itself and the grave. I'm so thankful for what he's done for me and what he's done in my life, and I'm glad to be in Truth Camp today.
Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Stand with me, if you would, for the reading of God's word tonight. Amen. Psalms chapter 73 again. Is it okay if I just pick up where I left off last night and continue? Psalms chapter 73 and Psalms 42. Psalm 73 and Psalms 42. When you have it, say amen. Amen. I'm going to say I appreciate this opportunity to come and be with you in Truth Camp again this year. And I appreciate the invitation, the confidence that your pastors have in me that they would call and invite me to come preach to their young people. And it's an honor and a privilege for me to be here. I want to say thank you for inviting me back again. Amen. Just looking forward to what God has for us this week. Psalms chapter number 73 and 25. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. There is none upon earth that I, say it with me, desire beside thee. Psalms 42 and 1 and 2. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Set your hands towards heaven one more time. That's the anointing of the Holy Ghost to help us tonight. Father, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for the touch of God. We thank you for the hand of God. We thank you for these young people that have gathered together here, the pastors and youth pastors, the counselors, the helpers. Lord, everyone that's present here, God, I thank you for this body of people, for this camp that we've set aside 1 week out of the year to come and be refreshed and recharged and rejuvenated. Lord, not just so that we can go home and shout, but so that we can go home and work the harvest that's in each and every community where each and every church is represented throughout this United States. Lord, we pray that you would anoint us tonight with your sweet, precious Holy Ghost to preach the word of God that you put on our hearts. And we give you the praise and the glory and the honor. And everyone said amen and hallelujah. You can be seated tonight. Again, we're going to be talking to you on the subject of an uncommon desire. We compare the common from the uncommon. Amen. And what it means to have a common desire and an uncommon desire. As David was writing, he said, whom have I in heaven but thee? And there's none upon earth that I desire but thee. Amen. He went on to say that my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Amen. I like the way he took the time to explain it. He could have just said, my soul thirsteth for God, and went right on with his writing. But he took one more clause to explain the God that he was talking about. Amen. Because if he would have just said, my soul thirsteth for God, that would have meant a multitude of gods. He could have been talking about any God, amen, that was out there, any idol God, any God that anybody else could have been serving. Because I want to tell you something here tonight, amen, that there's a lot of gods and a lot of religions out there to brainwash you and pull you away from the truth of the living God. Amen. From the real gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. In the New Testament, in the apostles, amen, the epistles that Paul wrote over and over, he talked to Timothy. Amen. He wrote to Timothy constantly and warned him of false prophets and false teachers that would come, amen, to dilute the gospel that he preached. Amen. But when David wrote, he said, I'm thirsty for the living God. Hallelujah. He wanted his writers to know, amen, the God I'm talking about is not dead, but he's alive. Come on here. Amen. I'm not talking about a God that sits on a shelf. Amen. That's made of wood or stone. But I'm talking about the God Jehovah. That God Jehovah God. That Jehovah Jireh. That Jehovah Shammah. That Jehovah Nissi. That Jehovah Shalom. I'm talking about a God that rules and reigns. Somebody throw your hands in the air and say, I'm thirsty for the living God. Hallelujah. I'm thirsty for the living God. And then he picks out his plea. He says, when shall I come and stand before thee? In other words, it's almost like he's saying, Lord, I drew my ticket. and I'm waiting in line. When's it gonna be my turn for a miracle? When's it gonna be my turn for a breakthrough? Amen. So-and-so got her breakthrough on opening night of youth camp. But God, I'm standing here tonight. I want a visitation from heaven. Oh, somebody hit me right here. I didn't fly all the way out of here from California to Lufkin, Texas, just to preach or just to sing, but I come for a visitation from the living God. I want to see God move. Where can I come and stand before your presence? David began his desire for God. David begins to breathe from his heart and speak from his mind. Amen. The desire for God. Amen. We talked about last night about the common and the uncommon desire. Amen. The difference between the two. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, amen, that common desire is going to produce common results. Just think about that for a few seconds. Common desire will produce desire. Come on, it will reproduce itself. But that common desire is only going to produce more common desires. Amen. The common desire, the common church, can I say it that way? Amen. I can be sitting home in my recliner. I know when they're going to start. I know when so-and-so is going to sing congregational. I know exactly what time the choir's going to sing. I know what songs and how many they're going to sing. I know exactly when that preacher's getting the podium. And I know exactly when he's going to say his final prayer. And in fact, I've got it so down to a T that by the time he gets done preaching, I get up, put my clothes on, and I can meet him at the door of the local restaurant where they all hang out afterward, because I've got it down to a T. You see, that's the common church. That's a common desire. That's a common worshiper. That's a common saint of God. And that's a common preacher. But that uncommon generation is going to produce the results of an uncommon church. Amen. That uncommon church, amen, I don't even know if they're going to make it past prayer meeting. Amen. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. They might not even make it past congregational service, because I've been there. Because David said, I'm a part of an uncommon church that's going to have an uncommon move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because there ain't no telling what's going to happen in that uncommon life. That uncommon desire is going to produce the uncommon results. Huh? Amen. I love it to be able to show up to church and it gets kicked off and you have no idea what's going to happen. Amen. Amen. I'm not saying that it's all about the shout. Amen. We don't shout every time we come to church. Let me tell you something. There's no idea what the Holy Ghost is going to do when the Holy Ghost gets a hold of an uncommon desire. Amen. Let me tell you something here tonight. Amen. I've been in churches. I've been in places. Amen. Where I wondered, Lord, are you even here? Amen. God, where are you? I surely don't see him in the eyes of the people I'm preaching to. I don't feel you in the worship I'm experiencing. Come on here. And I felt like I was the only one there with the desire for God. But I got up and I preached anyhow. I got up and preached every night with the desire and the fervor inside of me. You know what I said to myself? If they don't want to have church, I'll have church all by myself. If they don't want to worship him, I will, but I'm not going to let an uncommon desire, a common desire, stop me from having a move of God. So common, uncommon desire reproduces uncommon results. Amen. So you got to keep that in mind. Amen. So you know what God's looking for? God's looking for some young people, a generation that'll develop an uncommon desire in your heart and take it home with you and reproduce an uncommon desire. And those young people that couldn't make it to Truth Camp, in the rest of that congregation, wherever your church is, say, Brother Stephen, I'm going home with an uncommon desire. And when I get there, if they don't want to have church, I'm going to have it anyways. If they don't want to hunger for God, I'm going to hunger anyways. If they don't want to worship, I'm going to worship anyways. And watch God reproduce an uncommon desire in your home church. We have in California, especially in the summertime, about right now, we have forest fires every year because it gets so dry. We've had a crazy winter this year. Had more rain than the history of California has ever had in its entire history, from what I was told. But most of the time, our summertime, it's done raining. And we normally will not have a drop of rain and until the wintertime. A lot of times, all the way into January of next year, we won't have one drop of rain. Most of the time, our rain stops by March. Our rain's over. So by mid-July and mid-August, amen, our wilderness is dry. The grass is dry. It's dead. And all it takes is some crazy man or woman to flick out a cigarette out that window, amen, that's got a little spark in it, amen, to light up a cattle field and set the whole wilderness on fire. It's been, or someone leave a few more coals in that fire that they built up there in the campsite and they didn't put it out properly, and it'll start a forest fire. I mean, they'll shut the whole forest down. They'll call in the firefighters. They'll call in the airplanes to drop the water and drop whatever it is they can. But you know what they've said? What happens when the fire gets really dangerous? Amen. At the peak of that forest fire, the flames are spreading so high and flying so high. It's not the fire on the ground that we're worried about, but it's the fire on the treetops that we're worried about. Because they said what would happen is the flames would get so hot, it would jump from treetop to treetop to treetop until they can't control it. I don't care how much water you try to put on it. It'll go from treetop to treetop. That's what I call reproducing an uncommon desire. You know what's going to happen to your youth group if you go home carrying the flames of the Holy Ghost with that uncommon desire? It's going to drop from soul to soul to soul. Everyone's going to spread. What's going on with this youth group? We come home with an uncommon desire, and there's no devil in hell that can stop us. So an uncommon desire produces, are you with me here tonight? Uncommon desire produces uncommon results. You see, preachers, let me talk to you for a minute. It's not about how you preach, it's about what you preach. I've been in this for 19 years, and I've outgrown that stage in my life to where they've got to be shouting while I preach. That don't affect me any longer. Yes, I enjoy the emotions of feeling the crowd behind me, and I'll have to admit it ignites the fire in this preacher. Amen, and the emotion in this preacher when that happens. Come on here. Amen, but I'm not necessarily looking for you to run the backs of the pews while I preach. Come on here. I'm looking for the results after I get done preaching. Are you hearing me while I preach? Amen, because if all you're going to do is shout for 30 minutes while I preach and only pray for 5, I missed it somewhere. That's not the result I'm looking for, but the result of this gospel message is what it drives you to this altar and say, God, where's my desire? That's the result I'm looking for. Young girls, when you're asked to sing, it's not the song, it's how you sing the song. It's the desire you put in that song that's going to make the difference. Amen. And when you get up and sing, you just sing with the desire. You sing with the Holy Ghost. If they never shout, don't worry about it. You sing with desire. But it ain't going to be too long until that uncommon desire begins to reproduce. An uncommon desire. And the ones you are singing to, that's what we're looking for. I don't care if you don't shout a bit all night. But when I make this altar call, I want to see some results. I want to see somebody say, Brother Stephen, I want that uncommon desire. So, we desire. What do we desire? What's the common thing we hear young people say? Well, Brother Stephen, I desire his presence. I desire the power of God. I desire his anointing in my life. I want his anointing in my so I can preach better. And I do too. Because if it wasn't for his anointing, I couldn't preach. I want his desire, I desire his anointing so I can sing better. Well, I try to sing anyhow. Amen. I'm not very good at it, but I give it a good shot. Amen. But I know if I don't sing with the anointing, that song ain't do me no good, it ain't gonna do you no good. But why do I desire him? And in our prayers, we get selfish. Amen. Lord, I want your anointing. God says, why? Because I got a youth camp next week. I got to preach. And I need your anointing. Lord, I want your anointing in my life. God says, why? Because they asked me to sing at truth camp. And I need your anointing. God said, you missed the whole mark. If all you want me for is just so you can preach better. If all you want me for is just so you can sing better. You go set that common desire down and get yourself prayed through until you develop an uncommon desire. Because God said what he's looking for is a generation that will come before his presence and say, God, I want your power. And God says, why? And we say, God, just because I just want you. I just want you. I don't care whether you help me when I preach. But God, I want to get close to you. I want to draw. Oh, you were shouting a little bit ago when I was talking about singing and preaching under the anointing, but you just missed the point I was trying to make. Amen. God's looking for a young woman that'll close herself up in that prayer closet and say, God, I just want you. I just want to be with you. I just want to be in your presence. I wonder how many times God gets tired of hearing us selfishly pray. I go in my closet and I shut my door and I go to calling out on God, and God looks over at his son, the Holy Ghost, and yeah, he's wanting something. Let's see what he's wanting now. He's got a petition to put before me. I wonder what he's in need of now. I wonder what he's going to ask me for now. Amen. Maybe he's needing a job. Amen. Maybe his babies are needing food. Maybe he's needing water for his crops. Or maybe he's needing water for his vegetable garden. I don't know. Maybe he's needing some money to get his car fixed. But every time he gets in that prayer closet, it's all about him and never about me. Hallelujah. I'm wondering if God every once in a while don't say, Holy Ghost, go find out what he wants. Go see what he wants. Amen. And when you find out what he wants, just go ahead and give it to him. Because he didn't been asking me for that for 3 months. And I'm tired of hearing him beg. Oh, you with me here, aren't you, tonight? Amen. Just go ahead and give him what he wants. But the Holy Ghost come back to the throne and said, Father, he ain't wanting water for his crops. He's not looking for a job. But I heard him say, God, I just want to be close to you. I just want to be in your presence because I love being in your presence. I love to be in the house of God. I love what I feel when I'm around you. Somebody give him some praise. I've got to move on. I've got to move on. You desire God. Uncommon desire for him. Let me tell you something here tonight. Your desire must be challenged to prove that it's real. The only way God's ever going to know and decipher whether it's a common desire from an uncommon desire is God's going to see to it that that desire is challenged to see what that desire is really made of, to find out if he's really in love with me. Does he only shout when they're in truth camp and everybody else is shouting? Does he only desire me and only me when he's on the mountaintop? Let's let him go through a valley and challenge that desire and see how he comes out on the other side. God will see to it that your desire is challenged. It has to be challenged. It's like faith and works. They go together. Faith is good, but alone it's dead. Works is good, but alone it's dead. But when you put faith and works together, look out, devil, when you got a group, a generation of young men and women that have faith, and then they go to their community, they go to the street and put faith into action. Oh, I feel like preaching right here. When God raises up a generation, takes the two. So your desire is going to have to be challenged. I drove up here the other day and I noticed I seen the black excursion sitting over there. Stephen said, there's Brother Sweeney's car. I said, yeah, it is. Hey man, I've got an excursion too. Is yours diesel? His is diesel. His is just like mine. It's just black. Mine's white. But it's the same thing. You want to know how powerful those vehicles are? Full of horsepower and torque. If I've ever put it to the test, I've put it to the test. Come on, I got horses back home. I mean, we rode and ride and do all kinds of stuff. We hunt off those horses. And I put it to the test here a few years ago. Hooked up to my horse trailer and I piled that thing. I've got a four horse slant, but if I position them just right, I can get six horses in that trailer. And I got them in it too. Hey man, and I headed up to the high country and I start heading up in there and I start climbing higher and higher and higher up those mountains. I'm not talking about these little molehills that you all have out here in Texas. I'm talking about those high Sierra mountains. You know, you got to get up over elevation of 500 feet before you call it a mountain. I'm just kidding with you. Amen. But in our mountains, by the time I get to where I'm going, I'm 8, 9, 10,000 feet in elevation. I mean, I'm talking about from ground level. Amen. To be going from 200 elevation, climbing up, by the time I get there, I'm 8, 9 foot elevation to where I'm going to unload my horses, and then I'm going to climb another 1,000 feet on horseback to go find the deer I'm looking for. But let me tell you something. At any given moment, if I thought I was in a hurry, I don't care how steep the grade, loaded, amen, with six horses that weigh anywhere from 800 to 1,100 pounds apiece, plus all my packing gear, plus all the bodies in that car. You talk about some weight, but at any given moment, I can hit the gas pedal, and that power stroke's going to hook into play, and I can just zoom it on up that hill. I don't care what kind of weight it is. It has the power to pull it. But I said all that to say this. Up underneath that hood, I have two objects, one on either of my hood, and they're called batteries. You take those batteries out of that truck and you ain't gonna move it one inch. But when you want to know what those batteries produce, energy and power. Amen. Come on here. I don't care how many horsepower. You can brag all you want on the horsepower and the torque of that vehicle and that power stroke motor and that transmission. But you take those batteries out and you ain't going nowhere. I can walk faster than that car can drive. But let me tell you something, how those batteries work. Those batteries have a negative post and a positive post. Huh? You with me here tonight? Oh, we like to just preach all we want on the positive. Go ahead and preach positive all week long and we're going to shout with you. But the moment we begin to talk about the negative things in our life, we want to shut the service down. Come on here. Amen. But God said the only way to know the power in that automobile, the power in that young man, is to throw some negative in his life and see what he's made of. So God will pull the veil back and let you war with the enemy. But he's trying to figure out, how is he going to respond to the negative in his life? Oh, you ain't with me here tonight, are you? Can I tell you something? I can start my truck. Not start because my alternator's okay. It's going to keep running. But I turn my car off. I can take the negative off that negative post and leave it off and try to start that car, and it ain't going to go nowhere. It will not start. Because that truck was designed, that battery was designed, the only way it can produce, you talk about power in that batteries, there's enough power in those batteries to pull several tons of weight up a hill. Come on here. Amen. To wherever I want to. Let me tell you something. There's enough power in the Holy Ghost to take you wherever God wants to lead you. Oh, somebody have church with me right here. There's enough power in your uncommon desire to storm the gates of hell and take back what the devil stole from you. But the only way God can test and challenge your desire is to throw some negative. But watch this. Watch this. When you take the negative from that battery and you combine it with the positive of that battery, and when you join the two together, it creates a spark in that battery that, oh, you ain't hearing me preach tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. It creates the power in that vehicle to take that vehicle wherever I wanted to go. Come on here. It's not the negative that the devil throws in your life. It's how you deal with the negative the devil throws in your life. It's not the battle I fight. It's how I face my battle that matters. It's not the struggle I go through. It's how I look at my struggle when I go through it. It's not the valley I got across. It's how I come out of my valley that determines. So when I take the negative and the positive and I join them together, it's going to produce all the power it needs to run my vehicle across this country. When you allow the Holy Ghost to work in your disordered life, to work in the midst of your confusion, to work in the midst of your torn up home, to work in the midst of failure and frustration. When you allow the Holy Ghost to begin to take the negative in your life, that you're just a wishing God would jerk it out, that you're just a wishing God would remove it. But God's saying, honey, if you just let me take the power of the Holy Ghost and work with the negative, we're going to let the devil know you're someone he can't beat. We're going to let the world know I'm a generation that the world cannot defeat. What? You don't believe me? Who wrote the scriptures that I'm talking to you about tonight? David. Huh? God saw little David sitting over on the backside of the wilderness humming his harp, singing, as the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth I after thee, O God. When can I come and stand before your presence? As David begins to hum the hymn and the melody of that song. And David probably even lays his harp down and goes to shouting every once in a while, picks it back up and writes another tune to it, adds another verse to it. And God's saying, David, I love the song, son. Thank you, it touched my heart. But I'm going to test that desire. I'm going to challenge that desire. So one day, right in the middle of writing the verse to that song, all of a sudden he sees the sheep scatter everywhere. And he stands up and looks, and in the mouth of a lion trotting off into the wilderness, amen, is one of his little lambs. David could have said, my God, amen, I've got enough. He can have that one. It's okay. Amen. That would have been the common desire. Well, devil, yeah, amen, that wasn't really that important to me. You can have it anyway. But David put his heart down and said, that belongs to me. And devil, you can't have it. My God, my God, my God. I feel like God's about to raise up a generation to go home to your home church and say, devil, you remember that sheep you stole from me last week? It's mine. Here I come. My uncommon desire. David went out to that, went after that lion. Because the Bible said he took the sheep from its mouth and returned it to his mama. This is just Brother Stephen preaching. Is it okay? Can I just preach my imagination? David, under the power of the Holy Ghost, because no man's going to run an African lion down. And I've watched enough safari videos on YouTube and stuff like that, that I know when that lion grabs his prey, he's running for the tallest tree he can get to, because he knows there's going to be some hyenas and other people and other animals behind him going to want his kill. So when that lion took off, he went over there with the beeline for cover. But David said, you're not going to run from me. You know what I see? Hey man, David was like a bloodhound. He was following the blood drops of the, oh, come on, you ain't gonna help me here, are you? He was following the blood drops, amen, of that baby sheep, and praying the whole time, Lord, he might be bleeding, but I hope he's still alive. God, he's bleeding something terrible, but if you let me find him, I feel the Holy Ghost, amen, following some young people around. You might be bleeding. The devil's got you in his claws, but God said, I'm looking for that uncommon desire. God said, if I could get my hands on him. David took off out there. And when he found that lion, the Bible talks about him taking the lion, that sheep from the lion's mouth. David walked up to that lion and grabbed him and wrapped him up, took that sheep out of his mouth. And I got to believe, I don't know how it happened. It had to have been by the power of the Holy Ghost for a man, a teenage boy, to face an African lion face to face without a 300 Winchester. Come on here, without a Matthews bow. If I was going hunting lions, don't forget the 300 Winchester. Give me a bazooka. Give me a tank. Come on here. Hey man, I'm not about to step out there with no 600 pound African lion. Hey man, with a little 300 Winchester. Come on here. I want something. But David went empty handed. But David knew on the inside, I might be alone, but I'm not alone. I've got the God Jehovah by my side. I've just got to believe when David, the power of God was on David so strong that it intimidated that lion. The Bible ain't very clear, so when it's your time to preach it, you can tell it however you want to. But this is my time. So, Brother Chilton, can I just go ahead and preach? Amen. Can I just go ahead and use my imagination? Come on here. Amen. I got to believe the power of God was on David so strong. Amen. That lion was whimpered over in the corner. Instead of a roar, it was a. If you think the devil's afraid of your common desire, he's going to go, rah. But when he sees an uncommon desire break through the bushes, he's going to go, wee, 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 wee. David snatched that little lamb, turned around to walk out of there. then stopped and looked at that lion, said, I'll be back. Walked over to some shade, laid that little baby down, make sure he was okay, and then got up and went, here, kitty, 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 here, kitty, 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 where'd you go? You ain't got... You know what it is? That's the uncommon desire that said, devil, I don't care what you throw in my... Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Here, kitty, 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 kitty. Oh, you ain't helping me here. Is there a young man that says I want an uncommon desire? Whoa. I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody give him some praise. Hallelujah. Brother Stephen, you just don't know what I gotta go home to. You might have ran out of that house, but when you go home and God changes you from a common to an uncommon desire, you're gonna bust through the door of that drug addict house going, here, kitty, 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 kitty. You're gonna go breaking through the peer pressure of that public high school going, here, kitty, 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 kitty. Because I come home with an uncommon desire. I'm not a come with a common, but I'm going home with an uncommon desire. I gotta stop. Whoa! I feel the Holy Ghost. Do you want an uncommon desire? Are you tired of the devil stealing things from you? Get an uncommon desire and say, no more, devil. Sister Sweeney, come to the pen. Come on, get ready to help me quit. I'm closing right here. I'm fixing to skip a whole bunch of stuff, but I got to close. And I'm going to tell you something. The reason why God is going to challenge your desire is because he knows. He knows if that desire is real, you cannot stop a generation with desire. You can't stop a youth group full of desire. You can't, I'm on here. You youth pastors, you better get a hold of this. Because when you take your young people home, you better be in high gear, because I feel an uncommon desire about to rise up in truth camp. Look out, devil. Look out, Three Rivers, because we're coming home with an uncommon desire. Look out, Louisiana, we're coming home with an uncommon desire. Come on here. Look out, Corpus Christi, we're coming home. Look out, Livingston, we're coming home with an uncommon desire. God knows you can't stop a man with desire, and the devil knows you can't stop a man with desire. How many knows who Reggie Jackson is? These boys do. These girls don't know a thing. Was he a football player? Close. The ball's a whole lot smaller. He was a baseball player. I don't really follow baseball and sports very much anymore. But I was reading some statistics in a magazine. In fact, I was on a plane, and I was just thumbing through the book, and I had a little article in that book on the plane here a few years back that gave some statistics on Reggie. He is known as one of the most valuable players in the history of baseball. He has multiple World Series rings. He is one of the top leaders in home run hitters. He was one of the most sought after players of his time. Amen. Little boys would grow up playing baseball saying, I won't be like Reggie. Amen. They'd go buy him a shirt and they'd tell mama, mama, I want you to iron Reggie's number on the back of my jersey, because when I go play ball with the boys in the bean patch, I'm going to be Reggie today. Every young boy wanted to play like Reggie. Let me tell you something. Reggie didn't get where he was without a few negative things happening in his life, without having to overcome some failures and faults. Yeah, he held one of the highest records. He's in the top five, I believe, in most home runs. He's one of the most sought after players of his time. But do you want to know another statistic about Reggie? You know something else about him? Do you want to know that he holds the all-time record for strikeouts? You didn't know that, did you? But he does. He is the all, but we don't remember that about Reggie, do we? When you talk about Reggie, say, ask somebody, what do you know about Reggie? Well, I know he was an MVP player. And I know he's got multiple World Series rings. And I know he was one of the most sought after players. That's all you're going to hear about Reggie. But Reggie leads the baseball league with most strikeouts. But when Reggie got up to bat, strike one, strike two, strike three, and as the crowd booed, Reggie walked by his coach and whispered something that nobody else see. I'll get it next time, coach. Strike two, strike three, I'll get it next time, coach. Brother Stephen, I struck out so many times in the last 6 months. You just walk on into this truth camp and say, God, I'll get it next time. Give me one more chance. Put me back in, coach. Put me back in. My desire's no end. My desire. And you want to know why Reggie's coach kept putting him back in? Not because of his home run record. Not because he has 3 and 4 Super World Series rings, but because that coach seen something in Reggie that no other player on his team had. He saw an uncommon desire to win. Brother Stephen, God must be done with me. No, he's not. He's just looking for desire. You don't know how bad I messed up. God's saying, give it one more try, son. Give it one more swing, baby. Hallelujah. Because you can't stop a generation with desire. Listen to me. I'm slowing it down right here. I could build this up and end it on a shout if I wanted to, but I feel the Holy Ghost dealing with some hearts and lives. Just play softly for me. I'm done preaching. I'm going to talk to them. The success of your life is not determined on how well you played, but it's determined on how well you handled defeat. Because if you can't look defeat and failure in the eye and say, I'm not going down this easy, you'll never come out of it alive. If all the devil has to do is strike you out about 3 times in a row and cause you to go on a 10 or 12 game hitting slump where you never even have a hit or a home run, and all you did was struck out, grounded out, and flied out to center field because you was aiming for the fence, and 3 months later you're sitting in the dugout, your coach demoted you, amen, to Triple A League because you couldn't pick it back up. If you are there, it's because you didn't have that uncommon desire to stare defeat in the eye and say, I'm forgetting what's behind me and I'm reaching for what's in front of me. David said, or Paul said, I count myself not to have apprehended, brethren. But he said, this one thing I do. If anybody had any reason to glory, it was Paul. You hear me? If anyone had any reason to gloat and brag over the badges he wore, it was Paul. But Paul said, I glory not in the flesh, but I glory in Christ. He said, there's one thing I do. Forgetting what's behind me. I'm forgetting my failures. I'm forgetting my mistakes. I'm forgetting that past. I'm forgetting all those strikeouts. I'm forgetting those times I let God down. I want everyone to turn around and wave behind you. Just wave behind you. Tell your past, I'm forgetting them all about you. Now I want you to reach out and do this. I'm reaching for what's in front of me. Come on, keep reaching. That's that uncommon desire. That's that uncommon desire. I want every youth pastor and pastor to come up here. Come here. Every youth pastor and pastor, come here. I'm not done preaching. Every youth pastor and pastor, come here. Come here, youth pastor. Come here, pastor. Come on up here. I want you to join me on this platform. Come on, join me on this platform. Every youth pastor and pastor, come join me on this platform. I'm done. Stay with me. Stay with me. Don't lose me here. Don't lose me here. Just line up across the back of this podium right here. Spread out up here. Come on, spread out. Spread out up here. I feel the Holy Ghost in this house. No, I haven't lost it. I feel just as much of the anointing right now as I did while you was standing and shouting and helping me preach. I feel like God's going to talk to somebody. All right, they're here. Again, you're going to forget about, wait, turn around and wave behind you. Come on, young people, turn around and wave behind you. Come on, forgetting about my past. Now, turn around, I want you to take both hands and stretch them out in front of you and just start reaching. How would you like to go home and preach to that come Sunday morning? How about it, Pastor? How about, come on, keep reaching, young. How would you like to go home and stand behind your pulpit and see all these young people saying, Pastor, feed me. Pastor, I'm reaching. My desires went from the common to the uncommon. Come on, reach, young people. Reach. Come on here. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. When God gets done with you in this youth camp, you're going to go home and say, Pastor, what can I do for you? What can I do for my community? What can I do? That uncommon desire. Somebody throw your hands in the air. Pastors, youth pastors, they're reaching. They're reaching. They're reaching. They're saying, feed me. Feed me. Feed me with the word. Feed me with the word. I might not always agree with it, but I'm reaching. I'm forgetting what's behind me. I'm reaching for what's in front of me. Yes! It's an uncommon desire. These pastors and youth pastors about to help me pray here. I want every young person underneath the sound of my voice. Say, Brother Stephen, God did something for me last night. But I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're a young preacher. I don't care if you're a singer. I don't care what position. I don't care if you're a musician. I don't care what you do on that platform. I don't care how well what you do teaching in the Sunday school. You may be helping in that Christian school. You may be helping in children's church. I don't care what it is. I want to see you run to this altar and say, God, I want an uncommon desire to reach for what I've never held before, to attain what I've never held before. Come on, run to this altar. There they are, pastors. There they are, youth pastors. They're reaching for you. They're reaching for the word. Help me pray, be to God. Help me pray.